Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, September 24th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by iPad Today. Like iPads? Like apps? Like caps? Two out of three ain't bad. Catch iPad Today Thursdays at 1:30 Pacific at live.twit.tv. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And behind the boards, our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan.
One last time.
I know. We're going to miss you on Monday.
Yeah.
We've got more about what's up in store for Eric Lanigan
at the end of the show.
What's
this is
in
our
store?
Tease. Will he live through the end of the show? Find out. Also joining us, very happy to have Callie Lewis from GeekBeat TV. Hey, Callie.
Hey, everyone. I love that music. Just really gets you moving.
That Dan Luters, man. He's good.
I thought you said that.
I know. Sorry.
That's Dan.
I thought he said something else.
His name is Daniel.
I was like, well, that's a strange way to thank somebody for a good.
That Dan Luters.
That Dan Luters. He is really talented.
Dan, he is talented.
He is. It's a good theme. I can't help but dance.
I like it. Thank you. I'm glad you like it, Callie. And it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for being on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You can find Callie on GeekBeat. At geekbeat.tv. It's a Revision 3 show. Comes out weekly, right?
3 days a week, actually.
3 days
Monday,
a week.
Wednesday, and Fridays.
Shoot.
She's very busy.
No kidding. Well, no wonder you're so busy. let's get into the news. NBC has announced that they are going to unleash a bunch more shows onto Netflix. They had some shows up there. I caught up on 30 Rock, actually, by watching Netflix streaming. But they are going to give a lot more episodes from the past 35 years, hundreds of episodes of Saturday Night Live, all the previous seasons of 30 Rock, The Office, Law & Order, SVU, which also always makes me think of SUV. Like it's Law & Order being done.
That's
out of
what I'm always saying that in my head. SUV, Special Victim.
Also, the entire series of Battlestar Galactica, the reboot, the sci-fi series. Monk, Friday Night Lights. So essentially,
all this does is make your $10 a month subscription all that sweeter.
And
$8 a month.
$8. I thought it was $9.99 a month.
Starts at $8.99.
Well, there you go.
Right.
Okay, so $9.
We're not the Canadians.
Right.
We don't get the discount.
Okay, I can't count.
It's okay. We met in the
better.
Middle.
I love this.
In Canada, it's less, though, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, in Canada, it's $7, and they offer a streaming-only plan. That's the $7 plan.
So that's where they're saving money, because they're not actually mailing anything physical to anyone. It's a cheaper business to run when you're just pushing digital
exactly.
copies.
And Reed Hastings, because we mocked him so much yesterday about talking smack about Americans... In his interview.
Well, because we're so self-absorbed, according to Reed Hastings.
He posted an apology to the Netflix blog and also said we're looking at adding a streaming-only option for the USA in the coming months.
I'd want it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, we have the one DVD right now, and I'm not sure if I would downgrade or want to keep or keep an option to have some of those DVDs that aren't streaming. I feel like DVD is exactly where I want to be.
I have to admit something. Maybe I shouldn't admit it, but the only reason I would not go to the streaming only version is because sometimes I like to, you know, keep the DVDs, so to speak.
Right.
Right.
You mean you never send them back, Callie?
No, I send them back.
You mean you make backups in case they get damaged before you finish watching them?
Of course.
Well, you take the DVD out on the town, maybe stop by a few friends' houses.
Of course.
So they can see the DVD. Just
share
the
love.
You can capture the stream, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite the same thing.
You know, I mean, that's the only reason I probably wouldn't. But there are some, and the other reason would be that there are a lot of movies that aren't available on streaming only. So
yeah, exactly.
You miss out on a catalog.
Totally.
Yeah, a streaming-only plan that included all of the titles that Netflix offers, I'd be on board in an instant. That's actually the only way I use Netflix because it's built into my Bravia. It's perfect. Love it.
It's going to be built into the Apple TV as well. It's built into the Roku. It's in a bunch of televisions. So a streaming-only plan actually might be a really good idea for Netflix because folks who buy those TVs and Apple TVs and say, oh, I think I might want to sign up for this, may not want to sign up for having to get a DVD.
Right.
They may just want to have this streaming thing.
Yeah.
Jeff Zucker, by the way, from NBC, the same day they announced that they're going to unleash all this content onto Netflix, said, by the way, I'm leaving. Soon as Cable Town takes over.
And this is the same Zucker, not to be confused with Zuckerberg. Right,
which
there's
I did
just
earlier.
A lot of Z's in the news in the last few days. Is the one did not want the Apple TV to be leasing out NBC programs for $99 per episode.
Yeah, so wait a minute. What makes it okay, he said I don't want to participate in the Apple TV program because it devalues the content if you rent it out at 99 cents an episode. But with Netflix, he's given them all these extra shows, and Netflix doesn't pay per episode.
Right.
Netflix just pays a flat fee to NBC.
What I want to know is what does NBC pay Netflix per month? Because we're paying Netflix, what, $8.99 per month?
Unless you're Canadian.
Unless you're Canadian. Or $7.99. So there's a flat fee in either case. Because, you know, the only way that NBC is losing out, I mean, they're not comfortable with the just buy an episode here and there model because they don't think that people are going to be, or I'm sorry, lease an episode here and there because they don't think that it's going to add up to, what, $9 a month? I mean, it'd be pretty easy to do that.
That would make sense if that's what they thought. If they looked at the math and said, well, we just won't make as much money. But that's not what he said. He said renting it at 99 cents devalues it. Giving it as a flat fee also would, by that logic, devalue it.
That's what
it?
I'm saying. I mean, it's only really devaluing it from the deal that they already have with Netflix if people drastically reduce, just aren't renting that many episodes, individual episodes of shows.
Yeah.
I think that was just an offhand comment that really had no basis whatsoever. I mean, I can't really figure out his logic, but maybe they just really want to keep it focused on one area. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense either, but maybe that's their goal.
Yeah, because I've always said you want to be in as many places as possible, especially if you're an NBC Universal and you're trying to fight piracy. You want to put that video out so people don't have to turn to illegal means to get it.
But the whole idea of being available everywhere scares them.
Right, because, yeah, I know.
Because it leads to piracy. Like, in their minds, this is the way I think about, think that they're thinking, at least, is that in their minds, like, they're saying, well, if we're going to be everywhere, then everywhere means piracy.
Right. It's sort of the theater model, right? Which is like, oh, if we're available in a bunch of theaters, then that's that many more cameras that might have a chance to capture us and put us out into the street on VHS tapes. But we're talking about the internet. It only takes one copy to actually seed the pirating.
Right.
And that's it. It's over.
It's the deregulation that makes big companies like this nervous because they're in too many, they've got too many little estuaries out of the main river, you know, that
nice.
They're not in control of. You like that?
Yeah.
River analogy. Doesn't work all the time.
We could run with that.
Yeah.
There's a whole wetlands analogy to be had.
There you go.
The ecosystem and all of that. Well, in France, they're just deciding to dredge a canal. Instead of playing in the estuary, the Hadopi law, if you've heard of it referred to that way, it's France's three strikes law. So if you get accused without basis of copyright infringement three times, you get put into essentially a traffic court situation where a judge decides whether you're guilty or not. And if you are guilty, you lose your internet connection for a year and no one can give you a new internet connection.
How are they planning to find all of the copyright infringers in France?
Today, it begins with 10,000 IP address requests a day to different ISPs.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like the traffic cops who have some sort of a quota, and they're just mean, and they're giving people tickets left and right so they can go home at the end of the day.
They must, the ISPs must hand over the infringer's name, or the alleged infringer's name, address, email, and phone number. But 10,000 just to start, don't worry, it's going to go up to 150,000 within a few weeks.
How can they possibly stay on top of that? I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
That's totally impossible. How many people must they employ? I mean, this is there's been a private firm hired to handle this from the French government. as I understand it. They have to employ an army of mice or something just to push the paper around.
let's clarify one thing, though, real quick. Because so they're starting with 10,000 requests. These are requests that are that have had complaints of some sort, correct?
Right. This is not 10,000 people losing their internet connection. That's a good, very good point. These are requests for our IP address so that they can then further investigate and decide to send the notification. You have to get three notifications before you go in front of the judge, and then the judge has to decide whether you lose your internet address.
It'll be
so
really
one person,
your internet connection.
So one person has to go through that 10,000, you know, like has to be complained about, and then that goes into the 10,000 group, which then gets requested, which then gets thought about, essentially, and then they send the notice.
Yeah.
What's
the population of France?
I know, exactly. They're going to run out of people to send notices to.
62 million.
Well, they've got a little time. Yeah. 150,000 a day, though, they're going to catch up. And fast.
There are going to be a lot of angry French people.
You know what's going to be interesting, I think, is let's say the first
415 days.
Okay, well, we've got a good solid year left, France.
Once you get up to speed,
go for it.
415 days.
What'll be interesting, I think, is after the first wave of notices start going out, how that affects piracy levels, piracy numbers.
Yeah, you know what it's going to affect? It's going to affect encryption levels.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot more people using VPN in France after that first notice goes out. And also a point on this Slashdot posting from Timothy, to put this in perspective, well, I think he's quoting from a story, but to put this in perspective, Time Warner only has to give up 28 IP addresses a month. That was decided in court because it was too costly to actually go after more than that. That was too much. The courts determined that was too much of a burden. In France, it's 10,000 to 150,000 a day. And if they don't comply within 8 days, they risk a 1,500 euro fine.
There's so much money being thrown at making a point, making an example out of its citizens over there in France. Wow. Well, I guess that's the biggest problem that France is facing.
I would say at that rate, expect a notice any day, Frenchman.
Well, one other thing. You said that no one will be allowed to offer them service. I mean, that just sounds like some kind of black market, under the table workings, just ready to be made.
I am shocked to find there is internet connecting going on in here.
Sacre bleu.
Somehow, some way.
Listen, Louis, I need a little ISP, if you know what I mean. No, you're totally right. There's going to be a black market internet connecting going on.
It's going to be nuts.
Yeah. All right. As you know, Facebook was down for approximately 2.5 hours earlier yesterday.
Facebook, it was also wonky for about 2.5 days before that.
Yeah.
It's been weird all week.
Facebook called it the worst outage they've had in over 4 years. Robert Johnson, you may know him because he sold his soul to the devil to play blues. And then later became a developer for Facebook. Maybe it's not the same Robert Johnson, now that I think about it.
No, it probably is.
No.
It probably is.
Yeah. No, it must be. I mean, how many Robert Johnsons could there be?
Couldn't be, what, maybe three?
Anyway, this Robert Johnson posted a really good blog posting on Facebook explaining what happened. Essentially, they had an error checking system that went out of control because it was supposed to only work on errors that are in the cache that are very transient. But an error came in their persistent store, which meant it never stopped checking.
It was the infinite loop.
The error. It overwhelmed the database by hundreds of thousands of queries a second. And the only way they could stop the feedback cycle was to stop all traffic to the database cluster, which meant turning off the site. So they fixed it.
They unplugged Facebook so it wouldn't burst into flames.
For those of you who watch the IT crowd, they tried turning it off and turning it on again.
Is Facebook plugged in? Unplug Facebook. Replug Facebook. Is it working? Okay.
Hello, this is Facebook data center support. Have you tried turning it off and turning it on again? That's how they fixed it. But I love that. You know what? I got to give Robert Johnson props, even though I teased him about his name. This is a great posting. This is very transparent. And for all Facebook's controversy over, like, forget about privacy, it's all about transparency, it's nice to see it actually working the other way.
Yeah, this is a good example of the folks behind Facebook giving everyone all the information they need on what went wrong and how they will try to prevent it happening again.
Yeah, so
much appreciated.
I was never affected by the great Facebook outage. Were you?
No, because I don't go to Facebook. I go to Facebook not even once a day sometimes.
How about you, Callie?
Yeah, I didn't even have a clue that it was happening, actually, because I was busy working on something else. So I think that's the answer. A lot of people were upset. I did notice after the fact. But just keep yourself a little busy and maybe you won't even notice these things.
Yeah, I went to Facebook yesterday morning and it was fine. I guess I hit it, timed exactly. It just right. All right. Mozilla Labs is presenting a concept phone idea that has a lot of folks buzzing. It's a presentation on the Mozilla Labs blog called Seabird. They call it a community-driven mobile phone concept. It's imagining what future phone tech could look like. And some of the features of it are dual Pico projectors, Bluetooth infrared dongle to more easily interact with apps and web interfaces. And I like it so much because it's the idea of, like, let's forget about what the carriers want or don't want to do with their services, and let's just build what would be a really cool phone.
Can we talk about what we would do with dual Pico projectors?
Well, definitely with one Pico projector, I've always liked the idea of being able to take, like, movies off my phone and project them onto a wall.
Sure.
Some of these Pico projectors can do fairly large, like, 27-inch pictures.
Yeah, it's like as long as you've got a fairly light flat surface, you have a lot more. I mean, you don't have to actually carry on a device with you besides the phone itself.
Right.
But what about these dual? I'm trying to think of, unless we're trying to, I mean, what, you have movies playing on opposite walls?
Actually, if you look in the video, one of the Pico projectors can project a keyboard.
Ooh, that's cool.
So you get a full QWERTY keyboard down
got
in front
it.
Of you.
So it's all about.
That is brilliant.
It's all about the way that it's positioned. See, yeah. I never would have thought of that. That's great.
Now
you have to have a dock in order to position that correctly. But I love that, you know, Facebook is working on a phone and everybody's working on a phone. But this one actually introduces something that no one else is really doing in a phone itself, which is the Pico projectors. And that's cool.
They have you ever used one of those projected keyboards where they sense that? How did you like it, Callie?
It was fine. You know, I mean, it certainly doesn't have any tactile feedback, but with touch these days, not a whole lot of people need it anymore. So I liked it. It was one of those really early ones that I tried years ago. So
yeah, yeah. I think I tried the same one and I found it really hard to use. Like, I had to type kind of slow. I don't know why.
You're also a hunter and a pecker anyway.
Well, I type slow enough. Yeah, you'd think it wouldn't make me type any slower, but
I didn't
did.
Mean to out you on the show, Tom.
Oh, I've been out before, Natalie okay. Del Conte.
All right. She's probably a great typist.
She is.
She seems like she'd be like 100 words a minute.
She
never
mocks
mistake.
Me because I look at my hands when I type.
Mm. Well, so do I.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to start mocking you, too. That's just unacceptable,
I know. Right?
That's fine. Joy, there's a whole club.
2010, Tom. 2010.
Yeah.
Is there a website dedicated to that?
Tom Merritt looks at his hands when typing.
There will be shortly. Yeah. There'll be a Squarespace blog up any minute now. All right. Apple is the most profitable of the smartphone makers, according to analyst T. Michael Walkley of the investment firm Canaccord Genuity, said in a note to investors that Apple sees a gross margin of 50% and operating margins of around 30% on its iPhone, within an industry where most people who make handsets just get about 10% profit margin. So as a result, Apple took home 39% of the mobile phone industry's overall profits, selling around 17 million iPhones during the first half of 2010. This is the way Apple has survived in the computer manufacturing business, too, which is they don't have the biggest market share, but they make a lot of money off the stuff they sell.
Right.
Is anybody really surprised at this
number?
Not
at all.
No.
Not at all. In fact, one of the interesting notes in this article that I read was not only is their profit margin through the roof in comparison to other companies, but AT&T's situation with them, the subsidy agreement that they have, AT&T doesn't even break even until 17 months into a 24-month contract. So when you're mad at AT&T for those 2 years you're locked into, well, there's a really good reason why you have that, because they want to make a little money. Apple's taking all the money.
Yeah, Steve Jobs is just like wallowing around in a big pile of money in his office while AT&T's like just checking to make sure that you've gotten like through your contract yet before they can scrape any money out of you, which is why they're so tight about allowing subsidies when a new iPhone comes out.
So Apple's rich. Big whoop.
AT&T not getting that rich, but they still don't want to let go of the iPhone.
Yeah.
Apple holds around 2.5% share of the entire mobile phone market. They grab 40% of overall industry profits. That's how you do it.
That's, well, there's a word for it. But
greed is good, Sarah.
Something like that. Something like that.
No one else is really doing that, are they? I mean, companies that are taking their model and running with it.
You have to leave the technology market, like power companies, maybe.
Well, true. Stuff like true. That.
Yeah. But I don't think anybody is squeezing out the money the way Apple is. We got a video look at, thanks to some Czechs. Oh, I always want to say Czechoslovakia.
Anymore.
It hasn't been for a long time.
What? It's Republic of Czech. Czechoslovakia is just a more fun name. But
yeah, it's just fun to say.
It's up to them.
The Czech Republic. Anyway, some Czechs have put up a video of the LG E900.
Check it out.
That was corny.
Don't say
totally
block
corny.
It out. So this is one of the first looks at, Windows Phone 7 phones have been leaking like a sieve, but this is one of the first looks at the LG phone in detail. It's actually a 20-minute long video. But you get a really good look at how Windows Phone interface is going to look on a real phone. LG needs this. They need a shot in the arm.
What do you think about this when you look? This is sort of the dashboard. We're at the beginning of a very long video. I didn't actually watch all 20 minutes of it, but it's more information than you would ever need. I mean, what's your first response here?
I played with it at South by Southwest last year. Gadget had it at one of their events. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look that different in this video than it looked then. And I liked it, but I didn't walk away wanting it.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it worked fine. It was pretty.
You liked it because what? Simplicity, nothing wrong, stood out as weird.
I thought it was a pretty design. I liked the tiles and how, you know, when you go into contacts, it does that WebOS thing where it takes your contacts from all different sources and keeps them together. It seemed pretty intuitive how to get around in it, and it's got the little floaty tiles and things, nifty effects and whatnot. But there was nothing after I finished using it that I remembered, like, oh, I wish my phone had that now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it didn't have, like, the Xbox integration, which it does now. So maybe if I started playing games on it, I would like that. I'd like the idea to be able to pick up a game on my Xbox when I get home. I don't know how often I'd use it. Have you played with it at Cali?
I have. I got my hands on it when, actually at South by Southwest as well. They let me, do a whole show on it. And it was... I really liked it. You kind of hit it on the head. It, really good design. Nothing necessarily to just drool over, except for the design. no really good features. Let me back up. It's not that it doesn't have good features, just features that you would want on every phone that you have. But the thing is, what I'm really happy with Windows 7 is I'm proud of Microsoft for wiping away the old and just going new. And I was just really happy to see that. So I am kind of very into it just because of that one thing even.
I think Windows Phone 7 is going to improve Microsoft's presence mm-hmm. over Windows Mobile 6.5. I don't think it's going to dramatically change their presence. It actually might have a better effect for LG than it would have for anything else if they're one of the first to market with these.
Well, I mean, but it will. I think where it'll hit is people who aren't really technically savvy, who know the Microsoft name, who feel comfortable with that because that's what they have at home. You know, I mean, that's kind of where it'll be strong, I think.
All right, let's finish up with Google and finally announcing the winners of its Project 10 to the 100th contest, which awards 5 different projects a total of $10 million. The contest was first announced in 2008. Did either of you enter?
I didn't.
No, I didn't.
My idea was good, but I wasn't sure I would win the $2 million. Maybe next year.
Yeah, I didn't enter either. Callie, you didn't enter?
No, I wouldn't dare.
I know.
I don't think I could have topped these. The Khan Academy will receive $2 million toward funding its work on making educational content available online for free. FIRST, all capitals, receives $3 million to enhance science and engineering education. That's Dean Kamen's deal, FIRST. PublicResource.org is getting $2 million to make the government more transparent. Schwebe receives $1 million towards marketing of their name. No, towards driving innovation in public transport.
It is a good name.
They develop human-powered vehicles. And the African Institute for Mathematical Sciences gets $2 million to provide quality education to African students. They are located in Cape Town. So congratulations. Good, make good use of the Google money. Will you please?
That's a good award to win.
Yes, it is.
On to the news fuse. The latest update for the PlayStation 3 adds support for 3D Blu-ray playback, but it also removes support for unauthorized third-party accessories, adapters allowing PlayStation 2 and Xbox 360 controllers to work on the hardware, as well as some devices that connect via USB, no longer works. Perhaps Sony's afraid they're going to explode. They, in all seriousness, yesterday issued a warning about exploding third-party devices.
You might be excited about Windows Phone 7, but don't expect to use it as your modem. Microsoft told Engadget that Windows Phone 7 officially does not support tethering at all, despite earlier comments by Brandon Watson that it'd be a network operator call on whether or not to enable it.
No copy-paste, no tethering.
Sad.
Microsoft has changed its stance on IE9. We said yesterday that you'd have to have Service Pack 1. Windows 7 users will not have to install Service Pack 1. Looks like IE9 will install any patches it needs that you need in order to run the browser. If you have SP1, though, you can install IE9 without a reboot. But let's be real, folks. You should have Windows as up to date as possible. So if you don't have SP1, go get it anyway. Don't worry about this IE9 thing.
If you've ordered an Apple TV, guess what? Orders have been delayed until mid-October. Customers who opted for expedited shipping will receive refunds on shipping, so at least you have that if you're one of those folks. The delay comes very last minute. Apple's already started charging on credit cards, usually a sure sign that the device is on the way. No word on the reason behind the last-minute interruption.
It's black, too, so it's not the... That's not the color.
No.
A federal judge in South Dakota this week quashed a U.S. copyright group subpoena targeting Mid-Continent, an ISP in his state. Among the many reasons given for the quash, the fact that the subpoena was issued by fax was the most entertaining to me. U.S. Magistrate Judge John Simcoe said the subpoena was, quote, not in compliance with any of the four descriptions of Rule 45B2, and that's the rule that describes how subpoenas must be handled.
Nothing good comes from a fax.
Not anymore.
No. Robots. Robots may win the World Cup before the U.S. does. Claude Samet, professor of computer science at New South Wales University in Australia and RoboCup regular, believes that robots will surpass the abilities of professional human footballers, that's soccer players if you're in the U.S., by 2050. He says that these advances will require major advances in perception, decision-making, learning, and cooperative behaviors.
Go, robots!
You know, I love USA. My robots. I USA. Think they're the best thing in the world, but that's not going to happen.
Really? You're not going to cheer? You're not going to support the robots?
No, I'll support
World
the
Cup
robots,
2050?
But I just don't see that they're that's going that that technology is going to be there to
she's a robist
play humans. I build robots. I love robots. I just don't see it happening.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced Friday he was donating $100 million to Newark, New Jersey schools. Apparently, the donation was going to be made anonymously because he was afraid of criticism that the money was meant to distract you from the movie The Social Network. The movie debuts in wide release Friday, October 1st.
Do you think that he did want it to
Why would that distract me? I'm like, oh, good, nicely done, Mark Zuckerberg, helping out the Newark
Even
schools.
Though this movie
I'm
paints
just not watch the movie.
An ominous picture of you, you're a good guy and you care about kids.
Yeah. My opinions about people are formed in more complex ways than that.
Right. Yes. Than PR moves. Electronic Arts is bringing the first paid game to the Amazon Kindle. Woo! Scrabble for Kindle users. Five directional navigation shows up in the user's home screen right next to the books. The game costs $5 and is available for purchase today. Will we play Scrabble on the Kindle?
No.
Me either.
Nope.
No.
No. But don't it's like the it. Right kind of game for the Kindle, so some people might.
Can I just say that I've never gotten into the electronic Scrabble? I really prefer the analog Scrabble game. It's the only way I want to play it. I don't know what chip I'm missing in
They're
my brain.
You're always sitting up there with your Scrabble board on your leg just in case.
Yeah. Tom says, want to do the show? Not now. I'm playing Scrabble.
Who are you playing Scrabble with?
just playing.
She gets letters.
I like the little wood
she gets,
letters.
She gets mail.
I've never gotten into the Facebook Scrabble. Anyway.
All right. Let's talk about this Adobe Plenoptic lens to finish off with. This is a lens that allows you to refocus an image after it's taking. Basically, a panoptic lens is composed of a litany of sub-lenses, which allow the photons you're capturing to be recorded from multiple perspectives, and that means you get a lot more data in your image, an infinite depth of field, meaning you can toggle at what distance you want your image to be focused after you've taken it. So Adobe is getting into this panoptic lens. They're not the first to do it, but they're showing it off as one of the technologies that they're bringing to image editing.
So to be able to capture an image, it is so awesome. Is the lens bent? Is it like an eye?
It's a panoptic lens, as I understand it, actually is inserted between the regular lens and the sensor.
I see.
And so it has a lot of multiple lenses in there. Burke knows a lot more about it than I do.
Well, you know, compound
lens, it's got 16 different. 19 different lenses. So it's a compound lens, and it's behind your regular lens, right?
No, they are the lenses.
Oh, they are the lens? Okay.
It's the lens itself, but there's 16 different points, I guess.
19 different points.
19 different points. You know what's cool? If you can take a point from one end of the lens and a point from the other end of the lens and make some sort of a 3D motion between two images.
Oh, now you're blowing my mind.
I know. I'm blowing my mind. I don't know if that's possible or not, but if it is, I want to know about it. Remember like those Gap commercials? Remember when the 3D movement would happen when they would they would freeze mid jump, and we all thought that was great. I'd love to do that with my own images.
Yeah, if you'd be able,
This refocusing that happens, is that done in software after the fact?
Yeah, that's why Adobe's getting in on it, because they're going to give you that. If you have a panoptic lens, they're going to give you the tools to take advantage of that.
So cool.
So basically, you could refocus it from the eyes to the nose or something even further apart.
Yeah. Or do bullet time.
And do we know how far advanced this is? Because, like, for example, Canon is working on all sorts of concepts. But is this actually going to be coming to market? Or
yeah,
is it just...
I don't see any release dates in this write-up that I'm looking at. So, yeah, it's a good point. All right, let's, speaking of dates, move on to the calendar.
All right, Target is confirming it will begin selling iPads on October 3rd. So if you're a Target customer, you can buy an iPad on the next trip, as long as you wait till October 3rd.
They're going to give you a 5% discount if you use your Target card.
Is that true?
Yes.
Good.
It is true.
Does that apply to everything inside Target if you have a Target store?
I don't know if it always applies. Yeah. They made a big deal about it.
But it does
it
to the
iPad. iPad.
Yeah. There you go. I don't go to Target very often because I don't have one near me. But that's the only reason.
There's one in...
It's very convenient.
We'll talk about this afterwards. I was about to be like, there's one in Nevada when you're driving home.
I'm sure Callie's very interested. Callie, you have a Target nearby? You gonna buy your next iPad there?
I certainly won't be buying another iPad. I don't need another one. But I'm sure they're offering the 5% discount just on the iPad, I would assume, because they want to get into that market.
This is a great story. Hold on to your hats, because Facebook rival MySpace, remember MySpace? Tom, are you looking for a hat to hold on to?
There was a bunch over there.
Well, you already know this story, is going to host a live chat with the cast of The Social Network on Sunday, September 26th at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Cast members, everybody's there. Jesse Eisenberg, who plays Mark Zuckerberg. Justin Timberlake, you may have heard of him. Just little-known actor. Andrew Garfield, Armie Hammer, screenwriter Aaron Sorkin. They're all going to be on MySpace discussing the movie, answering fan questions, and showing some clips from the movie.
This could save MySpace.
MySpace, back in the game.
We've got The Social Network.
I think if you're in the movie's gotten incredible buzz, I'm excited to see it. I'd love to see a Q&A with the folks involved with the movie, but I've kind of laugh at the whole MySpace part of it.
Well, I mean, think about it. The movie's called The Social Network. They have to do some kind of event on a social network.
And it can't be on Facebook.
It's not going to happen on Facebook.
It's great.
But they could do it. Why aren't they doing it on Twitter? There are all sorts of
that's a good question, right?
Cast kind of conversations with Twitter.
I think because Twitter has multimedia, it doesn't have multimedia capabilities.
MySpace has the stuff.
The way that, you could stream a chat and have...
When is MySpace going to give up?
Well, not yet,
apparently.
Friendster has to give up first. MySpace is like, we're not stopping before they do.
We have the Social Network cast. Big day. Big day for MySpace. And finally, Nintendo is apparently 121 years old. This was a tip from our very own chat room, wasn't it, Tom?
Hate Bad Design tipped us off to this. Or wait, was it Virgil? I think it was Virgil that tipped us off
to this. I think you said it was Virgil.
Virgil on Twitter. Hate Bad Design gave us the Planoptic Lens. I forgot to give him credit for that.
Thanks to both of you.
Yeah.
121 years. How is that possible?
They started in 1889 as a company that made Japanese playing cards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, amazing.
121, palindrome year, so I'm into it. But I am very sorry, Nintendo, that we missed your 120th birthday last year.
Yeah.
We'll
try to remember
again
for the 125th.
We'll never forget your 120th birthday again, I promise.
On to the voicemails. You can give us a call. 260-TNT-SHOW is our phone number, if you'd like. This anonymous person from Wisconsin called and shared some thoughts on why a Facebook phone would not be like the Microsoft Kin.
Hey there, I'm one of your anonymous callers. I gotta say, I think it's a little weird to compare the Kin to the Facebook front end that might be coming out. I mean, the Kin was super limited, and Microsoft gave up on it way early. On the other hand, the Android phone with Facebook, with the Facebook front end, that has all the power of Android, plus it has Facebook. So that's really cool. That's totally different. Love the show. Glad you got a sponsor again. See ya. Bye.
So it's a fair point if we're certain that Facebook is making a phone on Android, or if they're using Android, that they're using the full Android. I think he's got a good point.
I think also it's important to note, we weren't really compared. This is a story from a few days ago on a show that I was on. We weren't really saying, hey, this could be the next Kin. We were pointing out the Kin as a marketing failure.
Yeah, and as the idea of a feature phone that just tried to do social networking and not much else, which
right.
is one piece of speculation about what this phone might be. We get little more pieces more and more, but we actually don't know what kind of phone Facebook might be involved with.
And there is a potential for a marketing success or a real misstep too, because this stuff, it depends on how consumers see the device. Is this the right thing for me? The Kin wasn't. Obviously didn't work out. And I think that's going to be a big part of whether Facebook phone, if there is a Facebook phone, succeeds ultimately.
What do you think they'll end up doing, Callie?
You cut out a little bit on the connection. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, just what do you think Facebook will end up doing? Do you have an idea of where they would go with all this phone rumor stuff?
If they'll actually make a phone?
Yeah, what kind of phone would they end up being involved
certainly,
with?
I certainly think that they might. It'll be mostly about Facebook. So, just take the caller's phrase. Well, and it has Facebook. I mean, I think they would rely on, you know, their users to be like, oh, it has Facebook. That's all I need, you know. So I don't think that they'll probably go too strong on all of the other features that hardcore geeks would rely on.
Vic in Kent, UK, actually has an interesting thought to throw in here as well regarding our discussion of INQ having a rumored upcoming Facebook phone. This pretty much arrived 2 years ago in the form of the INQ1, a cheap, available free with a 1 gigabyte data and minutes plan and text for as little as £10 a month. It was a slider feature phone, was a follow-up to Three, that's a phone company, Three's brew-based Skype phones. It had a very strong Facebook integration with contacts linked to profiles, photo upload, etc. Unfortunately, the UI was a little unfriendly and the screen was terrible. It was followed by a candy bar and a QWERTY BlackBerry-style handset. It's like anything forthcoming will continue this budget trend. So I think maybe Vic has pointed the way. This is just going to be another in a long line, it sounds like, of INQ phones that integrate Facebook very deeply.
Well, should we go on to Carrie, the medical records guy in Houston?
Hi, Carrie.
Yes. Hello, Carrie. He says, hey, TNT folks, I've got a theory about why the Verizon CEO might have been so awkward on the subject of an iPhone on their network recently. I'm a Verizon customer. I'm currently due for a phone upgrade. When I keep hearing rumors, though, about a possible iPhone on the network in early 2011, I'm hesitant to get another phone. At least right now. I'm sure I'm not the only person in this situation. And with us coming up on the holiday season, I'm sure they'd rather have their customers buying phones now instead of the prospect of an iPhone after the big holiday season. Carrie's got a point, of course. Back off on the rumor a little bit. Hey, we're Verizon. We're not sure about any of this. Buy our phones.
Although you could make the opposite argument of you might get people to come to Verizon if they thought, well, I can get an iPhone. Well, no, but you'd hold off. You'd say, like, oh, I'm not going to get into a 2-year contract now. You're right. So, yeah, I take it back. Kerry, he knows.
He's certainly on the right track. He's all knowing. There's the smoke and mirrors. This always, especially this time of year, everything gets weird.
You know, we always try to do this. We always try to figure out, like, well, if they announce it a little later, does it help their bottom line? Does it help their sales? I think a lot of times, yes, they do consider that, but it's not the ultimate deciding factor in what they're saying. I take these statements from the Verizon CEO to mean they're having negotiating problems with Apple over the terms of the service. There was an Apple Insider story that was pretty much saying the same thing today, that, you know what, Verizon and Apple must be locking horns a little, and Apple may go with somebody else. They may go with Sprint or T-Mobile if they go non-exclusive.
Right. No one's got anything concrete to say because nothing's concrete.
Right.
Right.
I'm just sick of the rumor at this point.
Yeah, I kind of am too. I'm done. That's it. We're over.
What does it mean?
Double rumor. Callie Lewis, thanks so much for being on the show. It was great having you on.
My pleasure.
Let people know where they can find all the stuff that you do.
Of course. I do a show on the Revision 3 Network 3 days a week called Geek Beat TV, and it's at www.geekbeat.tv, twitter.com/Callie Lewis.
All right. And thank you, folks, for watching. You can find us at twit.tv/TNT. Give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW, or send us an email, tnt@twit.tv. But before we go, this is Eric's last time producing the show.
Eric, no!
It's a fun ride, but onward to Tech Talk back. You guys can, if you're interested to see me do that show, it's a call-in show. You can call in with your tech opinions and advice and things. Find me on Twitter at Eric Lanigan, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-I-G-A-N, to find out the day and time for when that's coming back. It should be weekly.
All right, cool. So it will give you more time to do that. That's
exciting.
That's the positive that's coming out. Jason Howell will be taking over the seat on Monday. He'll be braving the smell of chicken poop to come down all the way up to Petaluma.
Oh.
Yeah.
Petaluma.
Yeah, right. I wasn't talking about you this time.
I showered this morning, Tom. I'm sick of these.
We'll see you Monday, folks.